Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during December. You won't need a telescope or fancy equipment. Just bundle up warmly and find a clear view of the sky. Let me tell you straight away about two events this month that you won't want to miss. First, you'll get a chance to see a fine meteor display called the Geminids. Now, the Perseid and Leonid showers might be better known, but the Geminid meteors are one of the year's very best and most reliable displays. From a clear, dark location, you might see one meteor per minute or more when it peaks on the night of December 13th. And unlike some meteor showers, you won't have to stay up until the wee hours to see the Geminids, because at mid-northern latitudes, the show starts by 9 p.m. However, for this year's performance, the moon will be just past first quarter. So expect the shower to be at its best after midnight on December 14th, once the moon has set. Now, we see the Geminid meteors mid-December every year, like clockwork. Why so? Meteor showers happen when Earth plows through a stream of fine particles that have been shed by a comet and spread out along its orbit. Earth crosses the Geminid's orbit each December. But these meteors are unusual because their source isn't a comet, but an asteroid called Phaethon. Phaethon isn't very large, only about 3 miles across, and it was discovered fairly recently, in 1983. Before that, no one knew where the Geminids came from. December's other cosmic event is a total lunar eclipse, the first one visible from North America in nearly 3 years. To see it, you'll have to be out quite late on Monday, December 20th, or up very early on Tuesday, the 21st, depending on where you live. The shadow of Earth will totally engulf the full moon from 2:41 to 3:53 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 11:41 p.m. to 12:53 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. The partial phases of this eclipse will last for a little more than an hour before and after those times. A total lunar eclipse has 5 distinct stages. Technically, it begins when the moon's edge first enters the penumbra, the pale outer fringe of Earth's shadow. But you won't detect the penumbra by eye until the moon's leading edge is about halfway through it. The second stage, the partial eclipse, is when the umbra, Earth's inner shadow, takes an ever bigger bite out of the moon. That part is very obvious. The third stage, called totality, is when the sun is blocked from shining directly on the moon. But the lunar disk won't completely black out. Instead, look for a deep orange or red glow. That comes from light leaking around Earth through our atmosphere. If you were an astronaut standing on the moon, the situation would be obvious. You'd see the sun covered up by a dark Earth that was ringed all around by a thin, bright band of sunset and sunrise colored light. After totality, the partial and penumbral eclipses unwind in reverse order, making stages 4 and 5. By the way, this eclipse basically occurs on the same day as the winter solstice, which comes at 6:38 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the 21st. Okay, while you're waiting for mid-December to come around, let's do some stargazing. New moon falls on the 5th, so you'll be able to enjoy moonshine-free skies for the first week of December. The most obvious star in the sky when twilight falls is not a star at all, but big, beautiful Jupiter, shining high up in the south. Believe it or not, Jupiter's been fading a bit these past few months. It's only 2/3 as bright now as it was back in September, but it's still a stunner. And though you'll never know it by eye, the distant planet Uranus is just 3 degrees, about the width of 2 fingers held at arm's length, to Jupiter's upper left. And by month's end, they'll be less than 1 degree apart. Now let's check out the constellation Cassiopeia. To see it, you'll need to be looking north in the general direction of Santa's workshop. If the night is still young and you've spotted Jupiter, just do an about-face. You can also find north, more or less, by noting where the sun set and turning to your right. Now look high up in the sky, almost to overhead, until you spot 5 medium-bright stars in the shape of the letter M. Below that M, by about the width of 3/5 at arm's length, is another medium-bright star all on its own. That's Polaris, the North Star. But let's get back to Cassiopeia. In mythology, she was a queen, and her husband, Cepheus, is represented by somewhat dimmer stars about 2/5 to her lower right. The stars of Cepheus make a pattern that remind me of a house with a pointy roof that's tipped over toward the right. Now, Cassiopeia was one good-looking queen, and she knew it. In fact, she boasted that she was even more beautiful than the seductive sea nymphs. Well, this didn't set well with Poseidon, who sent a sea monster to ravage the royal couple's land. The only way to stop the monster was for Cepheus and Cassiopeia to sacrifice their daughter, Andromeda, to the monster. You'll find Andromeda's stars directly overhead in early evening, even higher up than Cassiopeia's Big M. Well, as Andromeda awaited her tragic fate, she was spotted by Perseus, the hero of our story, who just happened to be flying by in his winged sandals. To locate Perseus, look for a loose knot of stars about two fists to the upper right of the M. Now for the climax of our tale. Perseus slays the monster, frees Andromeda from her chains, and the two eventually get married. Now there's one more object I want you to look for. This works best in a dark sky when there's no moonlight. Get the M of Cassiopeia in view, then slide to the right until you're a little past the stars of Perseus. Stop when you get about five fists from the M. You should see a small fuzzy spot in the sky. Look harder. It's actually a little cluster of stars, small enough to cover up with the tip of your little finger. That's the Pleiades star cluster. How many individual stars can you count? Five? Six? Even seven? Another name for the Pleiades is the Seven Sisters, and I'll have more to say about that next month. But get this, the Japanese call this cluster Subaru. Yep, just like the car. In fact, next time you see a Subaru on the street, check out the logo. It's a stylized star cluster. Aha! Before I sign off this month, I want you to promise me that you'll get up early at least one morning to take in the sight of dazzling Venus well up in the east during twilight. If it's still pretty dark, look to the upper right of Venus for the star Spica, and a little farther up for the planet Saturn. If you want more sky watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Until then, I wish you clear skies.